Eoch tanuyap, kuige iwans kuyens na. Hi everybody, my name is Kuige Iwans. I'm a member of the Squamish Nation and the Yagalanis clan of the Haida Nation. You're listening to Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. We live, work, play, and broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
Oh, vote, vote, vote for democracy. Vote, vote, vote for the right to be free. Yes, vote, vote, vote for democracy. Stand on guard for your country. We live in...
It's municipal election time in BC. Once again, affordable housing is topping the agenda. We check in with Tom Armstrong, CEO of the Cooperative Housing Federation of BC, to find out how electors can make their mark. You're listening to Each for All, the Cooperative Connection on Vancouver Co-op Radio, broadcasting from the stolen, traditional, and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. We'll be right back. This is Vote for Democracy from Canadian Treasure, Raffi, on Vancouver Co-op Radio.
Stand on guard for your country. Stand on guard for Canada.
We're back on Each for All, the Cooperative Connection on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO, 100.5 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Robin Puga. Tonight's show was co-produced by Sandy Goldman. We are pleased to invite Tom Armstrong, CEO of the Co-op Housing Federation of BC, to speak on the number one issue on voters' minds as they step into the ballot boxes this week. Affordable housing is still something every community is wrestling with. As we have talked about many times in the past on Each for All, one way to temper our speculative housing market is to take some housing out of the market by creating nonprofit housing and housing cooperatives. Tom and his colleagues at the CHFBC and the BC Nonprofit Housing Association and the Aboriginal Housing Management Association have been working tirelessly on this strategy for decades. And now we have a new tool to better understand how successful our communities have been in this effort. Their website, makehousingcentral.ca, uses census and other data to create an interactive data visualization tool that showcases affordable housing performance for hundreds of BC communities. Let's hear from Tom on how this new tool sheds light on the successes and failures of those elected to office in our BC communities. Thanks for listening, and please vote this week. So Tom, we're going into the civic elections for the province of BC, lots of elections all across the province. What are you seeing from where you're sitting as to the parties that you think are going to be the most effective here?
Well, the first thing I'll say is that we can rely now on more than our sense of it or our anecdotal sense of it in terms of the importance of housing as an issue. We, along with our partners at the BC Nonprofit Housing Association and the Aboriginal Housing Management Association through Housing Central, we did some quite focused polling before the election, and housing and homelessness shot to the very top of the list around people's top or biggest concerns going into the election. It more than double the level of concern around the second place issue, which of course was healthcare and the health system. So we can say with confidence to candidates for mayor and those council chairs that when they're speaking to people and asking for their votes, they should bear in mind that those people have said that the most important issue to them when they're going into the polling station to cast their ballot is housing, homelessness, and poverty.
And so you're the group of organizations you just spoke of have a platform they put forward called Make Housing Central.
Yes.
And the website makehousingcentral.ca. You've got a plethora of housing data that people can sift through there that your team put together for statistics data, and you can find out how the different communities are faring. What kind of information are people gleaning from this, and then how are they using that to affect or make a decision in who they're voting for?
You know, it's been so exciting to launch that platform with our partners in Housing Central. You know, we've been able to take policy positions in the past, you know, based on our sense of the numbers and the numbers that we collect. But this is a, as you call it, a treasure trove of data drawn from the most recent census and correlated to the housing need studies done by every municipality as required under provincial law. And it is literally, you know, you can search for data on every one of the more than 160 municipalities in the province and find out how they're doing in the production of purpose-built rental housing, social housing, you know, who in their within their boundaries is on BC Housing's waiting list for affordable housing. What do the housing needs study for that municipality say about the need and demand for different forms of tenure in the community? It's just, it's such a rich database. And what I love about it is that if you're a candidate, whether you're an incumbent or a new candidate, and you expect to be sitting around that council table, making decisions about land use and rezoning and the like, there is nowhere to hide from that. That data will it paints a crystal clear picture, not only of what's needed in the community going forward, but how well you've been doing in the past. So for example, in more than 30 municipalities in BC, not a single purpose-built rental home has been developed in the last 6 years. So, you know, if you're running for office in one of those municipalities, I would think, you know, knowing that housing is so important to your constituents, it would be a good thing to have an answer to the question, what do you plan to do about that? And, you know, to take it to the next level, by having this data, having it replicable, and knowing that, you know, we're going to have a census round every 4 years and an electoral cycle, this is not just going to be a static data set. This is going to be an accountability loop for everyone who holds elected office in BC around housing and homelessness. And that's how we plan to use it. Not only in terms of setting targets, but also in holding councils accountable for what they've actually done relative to the need that's identified for their municipality.
And so as part of the Make Housing Central data warehouse, you also have a pledge that you want city council candidates and mayors to sign. And you've identified, you know, a number of items in the pledge, include affordable housing targets to meet the unique needs of Indigenous people in housing needs reports, streamline municipal permitting and rezoning processes to fast track development of rental housing with no specific focus on affordable rental housing, or with a specific focus, sorry. waive development cost charges for nonprofits and co-op housing developments, contribute public land to nonprofit and co-op housing developments for new affordable homes, delegate approvals of nonprofit and co-op housing developments that are consistent with official community plans to municipal staff. Do you want to speak to any of those pledges in specifics that, I mean, I'm assuming you are putting forth this pledge because these are the things that you've seen successful for dealing with affordable housing.
Exactly. When you know, when we set out to create the database, you know, we thought, well, you know, it's not enough just to say, here's the need, you know, hope you can figure out how to meet it. We thought, why not canvas the province, municipality by municipality? Let's look at what's worked. You know, what are the best practices? Where have municipalities encouraged the production of new rental, co-op, and nonprofit housing supply? It's actually, just as an aside, it's interesting when you adjust for population, some interesting results kind of shoot to the top of the list. So, you know, you'd always expect the numbers to be bigger in Vancouver. But by population, you know, places like New Westminster, North Vancouver, Kelowna, you know, Langford, they're performing very well in terms of delivering affordable or purpose-built rental housing for their citizens. Other municipalities aren't doing so well. So, you know, we thought, well, why don't we offer some concrete solutions? And these are not radical proposals. These are, you know, quite middle of the road proposals based on what, you know, just what seems to be working. and invite candidates to say in advance of voting day, yes, this is a program of action that we're willing to endorse, and more importantly, to we pledge to enact these policies within our boundaries, should we be lucky enough to get elected and receive the trust of our citizens. So, you know, again, these are very concrete. I'll just, you know, depict one example, the delegation of rezoning approvals on co-op and nonprofit housing to staff where the official community plan permits. That's a step the City of Victoria took quite recently. There, you know, just a leading edge best practice that now we think could ripple across a number of municipalities. And at the recent Union of BC Municipalities annual conference, that measure alone was getting a lot of airtime, and people were talking about whether or not they thought it could work in their municipality. So, you know, again, it's not a radical program, but it's a very concrete way that every municipality can improve the odds of more affordable and purpose-built rental housing being developed within their borders.
Well, it seems that you have quite a few candidates that have signed the pledge. So obviously the word is getting out.
Yes.
People are seeing it, taking it seriously. I'm curious to know, over the last, the last 4 years, I guess, we've had both, I think, in Burnaby and Vancouver, a fairly, a knowledgeable of co-ops leadership. We had Mike Hurley in Burnaby, and I know they worked with you on developing affordable housing strategies there as well. You know, we've been led by Mayor Kennedy Stewart here, and they had an op-ed piece about the support for cooperative housing specifically in the Vancouver Sun a couple of years ago, I guess now. Mm-hmm. What have you seen change in the last 4 years?
You know, I think what's changed, I would situate the co-op housing movement, squarely in the context of the larger community housing sector. So we really have benefited from our partnership through Housing Central with the nonprofit and the Indigenous housing sectors. But beyond that, I think it's becoming clearer to people that housing is a bit of a central issue for more than just shelter. The social determinants of health and come right back to housing. Issues like diversity, equity, and inclusion, and whether you can whether you have a sense of belonging in the community that you live in, has a lot to do with the form of tenure and the built form. And you know, it's pretty obvious that co-ops aren't just bricks and mortar. They focus on the development of communities, and that is a powerful motivator for people. So, you know, we're sensing more. There's more recognition of that fact, and it's more important. I mean, you mentioned Mike Hurley in Burnaby. I mean, Burnaby just made a historic contribution to our effort to save 425 homes in the two co-ops. 115 Place and Post 83, we've talked about before. Those are now firmly held in the Community Land Trust as a result of the efforts of the province through the Housing Hub and a very substantial equity contribution from the City of Burnaby. And that goes right back to the mayor and council's promise to protect and preserve affordable communities where they exist now. And we're very grateful for that and very excited about the future prospects for co-ops, not just in Burnaby and Vancouver, but across the province.
And I know there's been quite a lot of discussions at Vancouver Council over the last few years about affordable housing and how to address it. What would you point to as a success, and what is not succeeding?
Well, I think the two successes have been, on the one hand, we've been able to build more. The City of Vancouver in particular has made quite an aggressive effort to deploy its assets and land in a partnership with the Community Land Trust to generate many hundreds of new affordable co-op homes. And that's making a real difference in communities all over the city. And it will continue because we're building out literally 14 discrete sites in the City of Vancouver. So mm-hmm. we're talking thousands of homes. But the city has also continued its efforts to protect the co-ops that already exist, especially those on leased land, by approving a framework for the extension of those leases. And now finally, we have agreement on three of those leases to go forward. And we hope that that will just open the floodgates, and that very soon you'll see more, like a dozen and more leases being renewed and extended. So, you know, our focus has always been on preserving what we have now, of course, but on growing the co-op housing movement. And on both of those fronts, we've managed to make pretty substantial progress with the city.
I know nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody knows what we'll see in a couple of weeks after October 15th. You've seen a lot of the candidates from a lot of the parties, and I think a lot of the front-running parties, make the housing pledge at Make Housing Central. How do you see working with those parties in the months and weeks after the election?
Well, that to me has been the really interesting development. I don't know if we saw the same convergence of ideas in the last set of elections, but it seems to me that that housing and co-op housing in particular, support for the issues that we've been advancing really doesn't tend to fall along party lines. There really is kind of a nonpartisan approach to housing solutions, even though, you know, maybe there are differences between the parties, but you would have to look long and hard to find a candidate or a party that hasn't at some point said, yes, we want more co-ops, and yes, we want to work with the Co-op Housing Federation, the Community Land Trust, and more broadly Housing Central to get more affordable housing into our communities. They differ on the terms and conditions or the, you know, when you get into the weeds of the policies and the promises, you know, how they want to get there. But everybody is acknowledging the value of the co-op form of tenure and a desire to work with the community and non-market housing sector to get more built.
So I guess you're sensing that people do know what co-op housing is these days, where maybe, you know, 15, 20 years ago, just getting people to understand what a co-op was seemed like more of a challenge.
Yeah, I would say there's still a communications challenge there for us. In some respects, co-ops are still kind of the best kept secret in the housing ecosystem, but it's very hard to find a candidate for a mayor's chair or a council seat who doesn't know what co-ops are and who isn't supporting the development of more co-ops in one way or another.
We also heard from the provincial NDP leadership race this last week, I guess a couple of weeks ago. David Eby was putting forth a plan for housing and how to address some of the issues with affordable housing. So a comprehensive housing plan. Was there anything in what David Eby was putting forward that you think is impacting the civic election, or that you wanted to bring up?
Well, if it's not impacting the elections, it should be. Now, some people said I was a cheerleader for the announcement, but I honestly think that if that's the program that David Eby intends to pursue aggressively, you know, if and when he occupies the premier's chair, then I'd say it's a true game changer. It is complete, like it is, as he described it, an all hands on deck policy approach to housing. There are things in there that address the most acute needs. So, you know, doubling the capital grants available to develop new homes for people either who are homeless now or at risk of homelessness is extremely proactive. The centerpiece of it for us, and this we've talked about this before, we've been calling for years for a well-funded capital acquisition strategy. Because we're, you know, as you know, notwithstanding that the province has made the most aggressive investment in affordable housing not just in BC's history, but in Canada's history on a per capita basis, you know, at $7 billion over 10 years. And we are succeeding in rolling out new homes under that program. But for every, on a conservative estimate, for every home we're developing, every new home, we're losing at least three. Existing purpose-built rental homes at rents that are $1,000 a month or less being swallowed up by real estate investment trusts and other investors. And, you know, we've talked before about the predictable result of that, rents getting cranked, you know, two and three times, tenants being displaced, affordable housing stock just being lost. And finally, David Eby has said, if I'm premier, I'm going to create a $500 million acquisition fund to allow nonprofit and co-op and community land trusts, housing providers, to buy purpose-built rental stock, move it into the community housing sector, and operate it affordably forever as non-market housing. And that is truly a game changer. It'll be the first time that we've been able to see that dream being realized. But, you know, beyond that, the demand side measures, you know, the tax on speculation, you know, the flipping tax, that ought to have a dramatic impact on the extent to which homes can be treated as investments rather than homes for people that they can afford. So, you know, broadly speaking, I'm excited to see that strategy rolled out with the support of the premier.
Well, it does sound very encouraging. Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens when the NDP have their leadership race. But he does seem like a shoo-in at this point, I guess.
It's always hard to say, right? Yeah. But and we don't want to hope too much. You know, for a year from now, we could be having this conversation and wishing that we'd had a different outcome. But I know if things turn out the way they appear to be heading, we could be in for a very exciting few years on the housing policy front in BC.
Well, another article that just crossed in front of me the other day was that there was some concern that we might not have the building capacity, that the builders, to complete all of these housing initiatives. Have you heard that as well?
Absolutely. It is a real concern for everybody who's involved in the housing or real estate field, whether you're a community housing developer or a community land trust or a private developer. Everyone is worried about workforce capacity. Now, part of that, and this is kind of ironic, it's a catch-22 of some kind. The part of the reason we don't have enough people to work in the industry is that they can't afford to live here. So we got to get going. We got to introduce new affordable supply into the market. We have to keep the affordable housing we have so that more people are attracted to come and live here because they can actually afford to. And that has to be an important piece of the puzzle. But don't want to downplay that concern. Building trades, you know, the unions and the trade associations and the development industry, they are really worried about this, and so are we.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I took from the Make Housing Central data, which I found really interesting, was just that difference in household incomes that you were able to identify there between renters and owners. And yeah. I saw another article go by that was talking about how this has become like a key delineation in the demographics of our communities and renters versus owners, and it's really stark to be able to see that data in every community that you have on this. It's pretty interesting.
It is the divide between rich and poor, the divide between owners and renters. I mean, Vancouver now has a solid majority of citizens who are renters,
mm-hmm.
And you know, who knows how that will affect the election results. But yeah, and the other the other lens that the database makes it possible to apply is the Indigenous housing lens. I mean, one of the great shames, I think, of the of the housing ecosystem is, you know, you have municipal housing needs studies that are mandated by the province, but not one of them actually approaches the issue of housing need and demand through the lens of the Indigenous population. And our team did that and has numbers to show, you know, how disproportionately represented Indigenous people are in, you know, people who don't have a home, in people who are paying more than 30, 40, 50% of their income on shelter. And, you know, that's why the very first item in that 5-point pledge that you mentioned is to commit to analyzing housing need through the lens of what's required in the Indigenous community to make a real difference there. And we stand very solidly in support of our friends and partners at the Aboriginal Housing Management Association for their groundbreaking study and their urban, rural, and northern Indigenous housing strategy, which so far no level of government has agreed to fund. And that is a top political priority, not just for them, but for us.
Well, it is really encouraging to see all that data and be able to actually have these tangible conversations about these really important topics. Yeah, when I do click around and look at the different communities, Indigenous households are just far and above non-Indigenous households in how much extra they spend on their rent, spending 30% or more. It is quite shocking.
Yeah. And now the data is there. No one can deny it.
Yeah.
And anyone who fails to do something about it or to make a serious and substantial attempt to do something about it, I expect will be held accountable for that.
Now, this, for the most part, is 2016 data from the census. Are you expecting the next census? What is the last one was 2020 then?
Yeah, 2020, 2021, that data will be coming out in, you know, in dribs and drabs, gets okay. released in installments, it's probably the best way to put it. And we'll be incorporating that into the database as it's available.
So for the election that's coming up right now, will you be sitting there on election night rooting for a specific candidate, or do you already have your just plans for addressing whomever is elected?
I'll be rooting for housing. That's what I'm going to be doing. And you know, we know that many of the candidates and the, you know, the parties or groups have advanced pretty specific housing policies and programs. They do address to some extent the issues that are outlined in the pledge. We're, you know, ready, willing, and able to work with anybody who's got a commitment to improving housing conditions within their borders. So we'll be rolling up our sleeves on October 16th and getting to work with, you know, mayors and councils all over the province, no matter who they may be.
Well, I appreciate you, you know, shedding some light on the affordable housing issues that are election hot topics. And we'll check back with you after the election and see how the next crop of civic leaders are addressing this.
I look forward to it.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Take care.
That was Tom Armstrong, CEO of the Cooperative Housing Federation of BC, speaking on affordable housing, the number one issue on voters' minds leading up to the upcoming municipal election here in BC. We also heard about the amazing work of Housing Central, a partnership of BC Nonprofit Housing Association, Aboriginal Housing Management Association, and the Cooperative Housing Federation of BC. Their site, makehousingcentral.ca, features an interactive data warehouse that showcases affordable housing performance for hundreds of communities in BC. So if you're wondering what type of housing is being built in your community, how many owners or renters are in your community, or you want to understand the amount of income your community's Indigenous families are spending on rent compared to non-Indigenous households, this is the website that can show you all that data. Check it out. It's at makehousingcentral.ca, and we'll have a link on our website shortly. This has been another episode of Each for All, the Cooperative Connection. I'm your host, Robin Puga. You're listening to Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.